Hey, thanks for tuning in to the Lake Forest Church podcast. Lake Forest is in Huntersville, North Carolina. We try to be a place that's safe for people who've given up on church but not on God. Hope you enjoy this message. If you want to find out more about us, you can check us out at www.lakeforest.org. Thanks.
Let's thank Kyle and the band for our new song, To the Lord Today. Appreciate that. We are obedient to the Bible at Lake Forest that says, sing a new song unto the Lord. So next week, Kyle, will you let us all sing it with you? Since we got the hang of it. Hey, I'm Mike Moses. I have the great and deep privilege of being lead pastor of Lake Forest Church, teaching pastor of Lake Forest Huntersville. Good to see you today. Did anybody, I bet nobody enjoyed the crispness and the coolness of the fall weather like I did this week. Did you just love it? It just, oh my goodness, it feels so good. The turn of the season, the turn of every season is always refreshing in a certain way. Particularly this season for me. And when this season turns, it's always the start of something new. It's the start of a new schedule. Maybe that'll be different when we don't have children in our house anymore. But it's kind of a new schedule for our culture because we run along that sort of schedule. Some of you have moved up to a new grade this year, and that's a big new opportunity for you. Some of you moved into college, out of college. We moved to new priorities, new habits, new work habits. I'm hoping for new grass in this season of life. And in this sermon series, we're just letting the Gospels of the New Testament remind us that Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus, the Lord of all that has been, all that is, all that ever will be, stands at the door of your life and mine and knocks. He's opening new doors for you and I in this season and every season. And will we walk through them? Today, in our Open Doors series, we're looking at a story of a man who approached Jesus with great eagerness. We come here to worship God. Some of us on a spiritual search, some of us following Jesus, but we come here at some levels eager to connect with the living God, and we're going to see a man who is eager to connect with Jesus, and we're going to see what did he do with the doors that Jesus opened in front of him. So we're going to read now, if you want to turn in your Bible, in the chair or on your phone or whatever you use, and Mark chapter 10, and would you stand and let's honor the reading of God's Word and let's read it together. At Lake Forest, we believe the Bible, the Old and New Testament, is somehow the very Word of God, His primary tool for shaping us into the people we were created to be, we long to be, the people that glorify Him most. So, whether you believe that or you're coming to believe that, let's honor by standing and reading the Word of God. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked. Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said. Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. At this, the man's face fell because he had great wealth. You may be seated. An interesting story. We have a clean-cut, respectable young man who comes eagerly to Jesus, eager to move forward in his spiritual life. Matthew, this is in the Gospel of Mark. In the Gospel of Matthew, we have an eyewitness account of a different eyewitness, Matthew, who gives us a little more detail. He describes this man in three ways. He was rich, he was young, and he was a ruler. And that word ruler in the Greek means he was a leader. Most Bible scholars think that this rich young man was a leader in the Jewish synagogue, sort of like a deacon or like the young elder. You're like, is he too young to be an elder? But okay, but he is. He was really a young leader religiously, and he comes running to Christ, enthusiastic for spiritual instruction. So we have this upstanding member of the civic and religious community to whom Jesus opens a door, which I want to notice something before we go on. This reminds us that the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, we know that it's very famously offered to people at low points in their lives when the bottom has dropped out and you're like, I need something. And we know the gospel is offered to us in that point, at low points in our lives, right? Because then, hey, you get to be the person with the awesome story to tell, right? The youth group's always calling you, would you come tell your story again of how low down you were, right? And you're like, Jesus saved me from crime, from drugs, and from being a Huff High School Husky fan. I was so low, and now I'm so high. I have to give the cat owners a break for a couple months, okay? So, excuse me, Huff people. Right? But note this. The gospel is not exclusively for people when they're falling apart. The gospel is for the religious, for leaders. The gospel is for people who are doing quite well, thank you very much, like this man. The gospel is for those of us when we've slipped into a churchianity religion, but lack authentic faith, a personal, dynamic, wide open, uncontrollable relationship with the living God through Jesus. We have that door to walk through. This man had the look of a seeker. He seemed willing to listen. He seems eager to learn. He seems like the disciple in the making. He runs to Jesus, falls at his feet. Like, how does it usually work when somebody becomes a disciple of Jesus? Usually it's like this. Jack, yeah, you. Yeah, you. I'm talking to you. Please, I want you to follow me. And then they follow, right? But Jesus does the initiating. This guy runs to Jesus and falls at his feet and says, teach me. Pretty promising for a potential disciple. But Jesus loves this man even in his eagerness enough to confront him with four doorways of faith to walk through for authentic faith. And the man doesn't walk through any of them. Maybe you'll recognize one of these doors as the one you're standing in front of this fall. Maybe today will be the day for you to walk through one of them. The first door Jesus presents to this man. He didn't recognize Jesus as Lord of all. Jesus as the divine Son of God. Verse 17, the young ruler comes rushing to Jesus, falls to his knees, and he says, good teacher, what, and here, quote, good thing do I need to do so that I may have eternal, unending, real life? And Jesus answers with a question, as he often did, that proves the depths of the young ruler's knowledge of God. He says, why do you call me good? Hint, hint. Because only God is alone is good. And he does this because the young man did not recognize with whom he was teaching. He was talking. A teacher, but much more than a teacher. But because this rich young ruler was into morality, and this is his felt need, which is unique among most people coming to Jesus, he feels a need for, he's got good morality, he wants better morality. And so he projects this onto Jesus. That must be what Jesus is about, since it's what I'm about. He must be a good moral teacher, a man of insight and depth. But he didn't recognize Jesus isn't merely a moral authority. He missed his divinity. Many people that I talk with today, my office and different places about faith, many people come to observe and respect the high ethical ideals of Jesus because they're beautiful. If you read them and learn them. But many people choose to stop at his morality and engage Jesus only at the level of ethical idealism and stop only at the level of what Jesus' ethics and morality shares with that of other religions, which is much. But to make such a mistake is fatal concerning an understanding of Jesus on his own terms. To stop there is to engage Jesus merely on our modern 21st century terms, where we are seeking to homogenize all religions into one through the lowest common denominator of shared morality. And that's bad history, and it's even worse, comparative religion. Jesus cannot be only another good moral teacher. C.S. Lewis, a writer from the previous century, summarizes it well. He said, if you deal with the Gospels and their historicity, Jesus is either a lunatic, liar, or Lord. Those are our three options. A lunatic, a guy who thought he was God, who claimed to be God, but wasn't. What do we call that? Flipping crazy, okay? Or, okay, if he wasn't crazy, then he was a liar. He knew he wasn't God, but for his own reasons, either he was a megalomaniac, or he thought it would be good for people. If they thought he was God, it would help them be more secure spiritually. So he claimed to be God, which is a lie. It's actually quite a monstrous and evil lie. So if he's not a lunatic or a liar, he is Lord. But one thing he most certainly is not is merely a good moral teacher. Good moral teachers do not claim to be God. Jesus offers for this man to walk through a new door in his understanding of the reality and truth of who Jesus is. Let's see if he does. Well, what happens next in the story reminds me of that guy. Pretty much wherever you go, your neighborhood block party, cubicle farm at work, hanging out, there's always that guy there. Who is that guy? That guy is the person with this inaccurate and often inflated sense of self. Usually, there's this annoying quality, right? Or some lack that they can't see. But when you're in a group of people, it's like right there and everybody's looking at each other. You know, like they just did that thing again. You know, it's got that thing. Now, being that guy is sometimes entertaining and amusing, right? Like, thank you very much, all the American Idol contestants who were the only person who believed when their mama was the only person who said, "Baby, you can sing. You are going places. You need to go right down there and get in that American Idol audition," right? Thank goodness that William Hung listened to his mama and went to that American Idol audition, because forever we will be more gleeful in our lives for his rendition of She Bang. Yes, that was awesome. Sometimes it's awesome when somebody is that guy. Sometimes more than entertaining, it's just, it's more lovable. Like Barney Fife's dreams of moving from a small town law enforcement officer to the big city or the FBI. I'm going to make it to Raleigh one day, right? The capital. Barney, no, you're not. You're not going to. And then sometimes it's just pitiful when somebody's acting like that guy, like Michael Scott, the Steve Carell character on TV's The Office, right? The middle manager who is so convinced he's a world-class leader. He's going to be called up to the corporate headquarters any week. No, he's pretty much at his right level as a middle manager in Scranton, Pennsylvania. Sorry, no disparagement meant to Scrantonites. We've all had friends who were that guy. We've all been that guy, quite frankly, with a sad inability to see ourselves accurately. This rich young ruler is that guy, and Jesus gives him a second door to walk through. The second door is he was unaware of his own faults. Verse 19, Jesus says, okay, if you're coming to me about morality and you want something good to do, man, I can lay it on you. I can lay on you some good stuff to do. Verse 19, he just trips through some of the ethical requirements of the Old Testament. He's like, okay, you know the commandments. You shall not murder. And Jesus also taught that to harbor hatred or anger in your heart against someone is a sin akin to murder. He said, you shall not lust, commit adultery. And Jesus taught that to inordinately lust after someone in your heart is similar to the sin of adultery. And he says, you don't steal, you shall not give false testimony, defraud, honor your father and mother. To which the guy replied, all those commandments I've kept since I was a little boy. What else you got for me, right? It's like, Jesus, I am so awesome morally that I'm coming here, and when we combine my morality with yours, they'll be writing comic books about us, the moral super friends, right? You're like, really? You've kept all these commandments since you were a boy? Really? Let's just take the last one. Honor your father and mother, which he says he kept since he was a boy. Let's see. I was a boy once upon a time. I have two boys, okay? So I'm thinking about this. You were once a child, a girl or a boy. Let's do empirical research on our own cases. What do we think about his claim to have perfectly honored his father and mother since he was a little boy? I don't think so. As one writer says, he was wildly naive and tragically blind about himself. He didn't recognize the first doorway, which was the truth about Jesus. The second doorway, he didn't recognize the truth about himself, about his own life. Like many people whose religion is good citizenship churchianity, instead of a living dynamic relationship with Jesus Christ, depending on His grace alone in the face of my acknowledged weaknesses every day. So He didn't go through the door of telling the honest truth about Himself to Jesus. Instead, He brought His own good deeds, like little tiny pennies, to Jesus. And instead of asking Jesus for the eternal, unfathomable, heaped up riches of His righteousness, because He's one with the Holy God, instead, the rich young ruler was looking for a few more pennies to add to his own collection of his cheap goodness himself, hoping to earn and keep an eternal standing before God in this way. Well, in spite of his wrong view of Jesus and a naive view of himself, verse 21 says, Jesus looked at him and said, "Liar, liar." No, that's what I would have said. Jesus looked at him instead and loved him. This is beautiful. This is comforting. In spite of the ways I get it wrong day to day of who Christ is for me, in spite of the ways I live with a wildly naive and distorted view of myself, and you too, Jesus looks at you and He loves you today. If you, like this rich young ruler, for whatever reason, are not ready to examine the dark recesses of your own heart for what may lurk there, Jesus still looks at you and He loves you. He says, the time will come for that. The time will come. And so Jesus says, let me open another door. You didn't go through those first two. Let's keep trying, because I love you. I want you to know me and I want to know you. And He says this to you and I. No matter how we've gotten it wrong or gotten Jesus wrong this week, afresh, He looks at you and loves you and wants to open a fresh door. What's the next door for this man? He says, there's one thing you lack. Jesus tells him, if you want to be perfect, okay, dude, if your game is moral perfection, then, all right, let me lay this on you. He says, go and sell your possessions, everything you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then come, follow me. Jesus looked through this young man's facade of his eager spiritual search, and He saw there idolatry. Idolatry refers to an idol. It's that which we view as ultimate in significance and meaning and pleasure in our life. See, first this man thinks that he's good enough on his own. But after encountering Jesus, we see that actually he idolizes himself spiritually and therefore what money can do to serve himself. Jesus unmasks that his eagerness of his spiritual search was really an eagerness to serve himself better, which causes me to pause and reflect on my own eagerness, conscious and subconscious, to follow Jesus and grow spiritually. Where in there is an eagerness ultimately to serve self better instead of Christ? And so what He does is Jesus puts a specific doorway in front of this rich young ruler. And He says, sell everything. And He does this to shake him from his self-focus, from his self-worship, which is idolatry. Sometimes the love of Jesus comes in the form of shaking something you love, because it's an idol blocking you from more life. The problem, as Pastor Tim Keller says, is that the human heart is an idol factory. The human heart will worship something. This is how human beings were created. It's our ontology, you could say. And if the human heart is not set upon worship of what is highest and best and good, the living God, then it will manufacture a lesser god or an idol out of something else nearby. And Jesus reveals that this man is worshiping and idolizing wealth. And he's covering over the soul sickness of it by being oblivious to his true heart's condition. Now, there's no indication in this story or elsewhere that Jesus requires this selling of everything for everybody who ever follows him. What he does require is the one thing this man lacked: full surrender to God in his area of idolatry. And so Jesus attempts to uncover the subconsciousness of his idolatry by shaking his conscious attachment to wealth. And sometimes he will lovingly shake me and you in a similar manner. The third door that Jesus opened for him that the man failed to go through is he misunderstood the plan of grace. What good thing must I do to have eternal life, he said. There is no good thing. Only to trust in Jesus Christ as God's Messiah, as the Savior of the world, as my Savior. Jesus taught in the Gospel of John that eternal life is, quote, here's his definition of eternal life, quote, to know me and the one who sent me. Eternal life is a gift, it's a grace that is given as a result of Jesus' gracious death on the cross for our sins. And a result of his gracious resurrection from the dead to literally blaze the trail to resurrection for us, body and soul, in the new heavens and the new earth upon Jesus' return. You know, Jesus was and is a high ethical teacher because it honors God and it's good for us to behave in ways that are consistent with God's character. But eternal life isn't connected to doing the right thing, to doing good, because none of us is good enough. Eternal life is only connected to knowing Jesus, who is fully good on our behalf. And we receive the gift of salvation by walking through the door of faith for the first time. And then Jesus opens a final door for this man. He says, follow me. And the rich young ruler does not enter that fourth door either. And he turns away. The fourth door, he went away from Jesus. And the gospel account says he went away sadly, for he had much wealth. He went away sadly because Jesus wouldn't bless his ethical, nice guy, civil religion that was subconsciously centered around self. And honestly, in a way, this is really the man's only missed door. After missing the others, Jesus still said, okay, you got that wrong, you got that wrong, you got that wrong. That's about par for the course for most of the people I know. Just come through this one. Just follow me. And this is really the only one he misses. Because you know what? A person can misunderstand and wrestle with the divinity of Christ for a long time. We have many here on a spiritual search going, I'm still just not quite sure about that whole Jesus is God thing. Some of you have been through our membership class, and that's your point. Your next stop on the journey, but you're wrestling with integrity there. That's okay. A person can be blind to her own faults. A person can completely misunderstand God's grace, but still keep growing spiritually by following Jesus. The rich young man was eager when he encountered Jesus, but by failing to step through this last door that Jesus opened, hey, just follow me, just spend time with me, his spiritual eagerness was turned to disappointment, and he stopped at that point on his spiritual journey. Friends, if you're on a journey here of spiritual exploration, you're looking into who is God, and is it possibly true that there's a God who is love, and he loves me? He wants to love and know me personally through Jesus. If your exploration has brought you here, or if you're a spiritual skeptic, or if you're a Christian who you're back here and you're just like just now putting your big toe back in the water of coming to church and being active in your faith, you know, you're like, I'm back, and you're starting to grow. Don't turn away from the new doors that Jesus is opening for you to go through and expect to still be finding some life on this new spiritual search. Go through the door. You must respond, even if you don't fully understand it. This man didn't understand the first three. And Jesus said, still, even though you don't like get me, and you don't get yourself, just follow me. Walk through it. And I don't know what door Jesus is calling you to respond as the next step on your spiritual journey, even without full understanding. It may be a moral issue in your life. It may be a specific intellectual or theological question. Or it may be a hurt that you're completely unwilling to forgive and let go of. But if you know, if you have heard the Spirit of God, we've given you a lot of space to respond to the Scriptures and the Spirit of God in this series. And if the Spirit of God is calling you through a door very clearly, I pray you will walk through that door, no matter where you are spiritually, so that you keep following Jesus. In fact, we have great examples for this. In the Gospels, every significant person named who followed Jesus started this way. Peter, Andrew, John, Matthew, all of them. They didn't fully understand the lordship of Jesus when he first said, follow me. And they said, okay, right? They didn't get that he's kingdom of heaven. He's the king of heaven and earth, past, present, and future. And they certainly didn't fully understand the plan of grace. But they stayed with Jesus. They were willing to commit to a lifestyle of learning from him about life, allowing him to be the master, the Lord of life, learning in community with others trying to follow Jesus, which is all we're trying to do here. They apprenticed themselves to Jesus for the long haul. And so that is the way towards spiritual progress and salvation. Follow the spiritual path you've begun through until fruition. And so for spiritual explorers or skeptics here, that might mean you just keep coming back here with a friend next week to learn about Jesus with your mind as we teach the Bible, and encounter him with your spirit somehow as we worship and as we pray. To take the next step maybe to be in the next Welcome 101 class that starts next Sunday night. It's sort of a locating yourself on the map of your spiritual journey, taking the next step. Now, for those of us who are Christians here, as we begin to move into a time of response and prayer, I have some meditations for us about these doors Jesus opened for the man that day. Just as the gospel was offered to him for the first time that day, I want to say to you, Christians, so does Jesus offer himself to you in his gospel as your good news, to be your good news every day. And so this story is as fresh for you and I as the first time we read it, as the first time the gospel was offered to us. And so our first meditation is this. Are you still walking through the door of grace from Jesus daily? To a deeper understanding of grace. That we're not just saved by grace according to the gospel initially, but we're invited to live by grace through the gospel daily. Are you walking through that door to a deeper understanding of grace, of how good and holy and gracious Jesus is in you and for you as the solid rock basis of your self-understanding, of your standing before God, of your acceptance to God? Or are you tempted, like I am so often, to be a Christian in the words of the rich young ruler, and all these things I have kept, Lord, what else must I do today to enjoy your favor? I've known too many Christians. I've been living too many days as this guy, trying to maintain the joy of my salvation, trying to literally retaste his actual presence through the Holy Spirit in my life by what else must I do, in the words of the rich young ruler. Trying to add a penny of my own righteousness here and there onto the pile of heaping pile of treasure that I've forgotten about. That's the righteousness of Jesus applied to me by faith, to my identity. There it is, this pile of righteousness, making you, making me eternally pleasing to our Heavenly Father, accepted by Him, fully acceptable, adopted as His beloved child. And so, friends, receive grace daily. Walk through that door afresh. To help you think that through concretely, I want to tell you one person's story of walking through the doorway to grace daily. I want to tell you the story of my dad and his daily grace story. My parents, Mike and Carol Moses, they come, they worship here at Lake Forest Huntersville. They live in Davidson. More accurately, my dad lives at Summit Coffee in Davidson. You just walk in there and look for a guy who looks slightly like me, and that's my dad. Here's his daily grace story. Mike, in retrospect, after I became a Christian at age 17, I realized that I spent the next 30 years trying to be a good Christian. My interpretation of that fit nicely with my belief system about myself in almost every area of my life. Everything was tied to trying to be better, work harder, prove myself, improve myself, fix myself, don't sin, pray more, go to church more, read the Bible more, etc., etc. Most of my life was driven by trying to measure up and not fail as a man and as a Christian. I made Christianity into an achieving system and knew little about grace, which is a receiving system. If we just get that. I was saved by faith under the new covenant, but living under the law like the old, until my loving Father God intervened and showed me that I was an utter failure in many areas of my life because I was living out of my own resources, what the Bible calls the self life. Through burnout, anxiety, and great pain, all I could do was, quote, give up on myself and admit I couldn't go on like this. In the pit of brokenness, I encountered the love and grace of Jesus, welcoming me home again to grace. Admitting the worthlessness of my self-righteousness and pride, and then God in Christ through the Holy Spirit exchanged my self-life every day for His very life every day. Now, instead of working for God as if I could give Him anything of value, He lives His life in me and through me. And I'm learning to rest and abide and trust in Him for my life, my strength, my peace daily. Knowing who I am as His son, not perfect in my behavior, but perfectly accepted by Him and in Him. All because of the solid rock of the beautiful finished work of Jesus' death on the cross. My part, absolute trust and surrender to Him, believing He's living in me and through me for His glory. His part, every day He gives me His life, and I keep receiving it as grace by walking through that door daily. I've come to believe and experience primarily grace is a person, Jesus. It's not what grace is, who grace is. So experiencing and knowing grace is a life-altering, intimate relationship with Jesus all the time. Because in the kingdom of God, that's our true identity and true reality. This is counter to the kingdom of the world, where self is our identity and source of life. Grace is Jesus living in me and me living in union with Him. And so, friends, a simple way that I attempt to walk through the doorway of grace every day, not relying on self, is I pray a little something like this as I read Scripture and pray each day. It's a daily identity in Christ prayer. By your gift, I am a beloved child of God, in whom you are well pleased because of Christ in me, not because of these things I have kept. What more must I do today to know your pleasure and acceptance, Lord? And I invite you to walk daily through the doorway of grace of knowing who you are in Christ, a fresh Christian. Walking, therefore, into your day, luxuriating in the joy that results in being well-pleasing to your Heavenly Father because of Christ's grace. So you can't lose it. It is solid as a rock because it's based on Him. And you just live out of the joy and reality of it, or not. The rich young ruler could have walked through the door of grace for the first time that day if he'd put down the spiritual pennies of his own fleeting good behavior, and if he had put down the literal pennies of his personal false idol, his money. Christian, you and I are invited to walk through that door, not just one time upon salvation, but every day, relying on His riches on my behalf. You can walk through that door every day. Many Christians that I know live joyless, defeated lives of faith because we keep ourselves outside the open door of grace every day. Do you know why the Old Testament promises you His mercies are new every morning? Because my fears, self-doubts, temptations are new every morning. Therefore, I need fresh grace, not once for all. So walk through the door of grace of Jesus daily, knowing who you are in Christ. As we move into a time of reflection and prayer and just responsive prayer, a few other meditations I'll just give to you, if it's for you, is this: are you still walking through the door of being in touch with your faults and your weakness? In other words, pursuing an honest sense of self that drives you toward grace every day as your strength, not self-strength. Where do you need to confess to being wildly naive and tragically blind about yourself and fall afresh on His grace to be the power in your weakness? Not so that we despair over how bad we are, but we rejoice in how good Jesus is for us. as the solid, unchanging rock to base our faith on, to depend on for strength and sustenance. And those of you who are spiritual explorers, will you keep walking through the door of following Jesus, whatever door He's opening right now, in spite of your lack of understanding? Because it's okay to follow Jesus even as you still have questions. So, here's what we're going to do in the next few minutes. On your way, we're in this series, we're providing space, ample space, for each of us to respond. I'm not going to pray some long prayer and pray the sermon into you, Dr. Bill. We're going to each respond to the Word of God, because worship is not a spectator sport. We're all in the game. And so you were given a penny on your way in, and if you happen to walk by it, one of our greeters, hint, hint, will be walking around with a big thing of pennies if you need one, if you'd like to get one, or you can go out there and get it and come back in. And here, let me put this on screen. Here's what I invite you to do during these two songs. We have prayer stations around the room. Up here, we have over here and this one, at which people have found themselves choosing to kneel. Anyone, you can move at any point, just freely, it's your own deal. Bring your penny and leave it to lay it down. And if you're someone who is not a Christian yet, bring your penny and lay it down as representing the one thing keeping you from faith in Jesus Christ. Often it's one thing. For this man, it was one thing. What's the one thing for you? And if you're not ready to lay that thing down and put your faith in Jesus, just keep the penny so that you can clearly name it this week. Okay? Or if you're ready, you may lay it down in the little jar for the penny and put your faith in Jesus for the first time. Those of us who are Christians, bring your and leave your penny and lay it down, representing an area of self-sufficiency or strength in which you've been depending on yourself rather than Christ, and you want to depend on His grace now. Or an area of sin or an idol that needs confessing. And as you lay it down, look in the mirror that's provided there and be reminded of the grace of the truth of who you are in Christ. And then as you walk away, just pick up a rock to remind you to walk through the doorway of grace this week, basing your identity solidly on Christ, not on self. And so, would you stand as we prepare to pray and worship? And I'll go first. Heavenly Father, this penny pretty much represents the value of an area of strength in my life where I confess to you I've been living very self-sufficiently. And I lay it down. I invite your grace to do what only you can do in that area of my life. And I now pick up this rock, choosing to walk through the door of basing my identity on who I am in Christ as your beloved and accepted child this week, every day.